Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
Thank you for tuning in to The Queer Truth, a podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Yay. So we're back. Deepest apologies for the no podcast last week. We did record one, but my Mac decided to cut off on us at the end of the podcast, and the recording has been lost forever and ever. But we're back this week to talk about all the filthy and all the good, beginning with the never been relevant, still trying to stay relevant Billboard Music Awards that took place this week. Wow. And of course, it's the first award show, I believe, since Prince has passed away. Prince died a month ago, as all of us know. And there was a lot of buzz already before the awards show about who was going to be given the opportunity, the privilege, the honor to do the tribute. And no one asked this person, irrelevant herself, Linda Perry from Four Non Blondes, but for whatever reason, she felt the need to weigh in and explain why someone like Chaka Khan and Sheila E. wouldn't be relevant enough.
Wow.
To do the tribute.
Wow.
She said, yeah, they're all right, but Madonna, that's who's relevant today. Madonna's relevant.
What?
So, yeah.
Is it 1984? Like, what?
Yes. So, Questlove introduced Madonna, who did a tribute to Prince. Prince has what, over 30 plus albums, and she sang from an 8-minute tribute. 6 of those minutes were dedicated to singing the song that he wrote for Sinead O'Connor that popped off her career, Nothing Compared. Six minutes on a purple throne in a purple paisley suit,
and singing it horribly,
not hitting any of the high notes, then brought on Stevie Wonder for the last minute and a half of Purple Rain. That didn't work. And that was it. That was the tribute to Prince Rogers Nelson. What is going on? Why? Why, Billboard? I mean, it's bad enough where you're only nominating The Weeknd for R&B, but, and I'm a Weeknd fan, don't get me wrong, but The Weeknd is nominated across all the R&B and winning all the R&B categories.
I'm gonna need some receipts on Prince and Madonna being friends. I don't believe it for 1 minute. Prince liked talent. Prince knew Madonna couldn't sing. Like, what?
That's what I'm saying. Madonna doesn't play any instruments.
She don't play no instruments. She can't sing, and she could barely move. So, in what, like, did they go to a same club once in the 90s? Like, what happened?
The comparison was that they were, and I hate the comparison because she doesn't deserve to be compared to Prince in any way, but the comparison was they were, you know, breaking boundaries in the 80s. They both reinvented themselves several times with different personas and whatever, whatever. I personally don't see that with Prince. I don't think Prince ever reinvented himself. Prince is like the epitome of what people like to call today gender fluid, whatever, whatever. Prince was doing Prince from day one.
Prince was doing Prince from day one. And there's this amazing story from Joni Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
right? Where she's like, Prince used to send me fan mail. He was 14. And like one day he came up to her after a concert and was like, hello, my name is Prince and I love your work. And she was just like, he was the same dude.
Right.
He was the same dude you would see 10 years later, you know, gyrating on stage. He was that dude at 14. So this idea that Madonna, who steals all of her ideas from, you know, people like Prince.
Right.
Is somehow relevant today. Like, what can you name a Madonna song from the last 10 years? Just one.
There was the hashtag she did, Rebel.
Yeah, but what the song sound like? Exactly. So that, right. The song, you don't even know what it sounds like.
No, I just know it because of the uproar that she was.
Because it was racist.
Right.
Right. You know, like she's Nelson known Mandela for her racism. Eve. And she gonna do the Prince tribute. Mm-hmm. She's a mess. She need to just focus on raising her kids or something. I don't know. Well, like, get your life together.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, but what is it, like, what is it that Billboard, which in my personal opinion, at least their award show, is not relevant. I mean, the Grammys are barely relevant today, right? But how does Billboard, if you look at the performers, I mean, Ludacris and Ciara were hosting, two Black artists from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Luda threw shade on the Oscars, probably because he was mad that he wasn't really invited with his Fast and Furious people. But anyway, he threw shade on the Oscars talking about Billboard Music Awards where Black people are nominated. But he then went on to only name one of those Black people. But, you know, that's okay. He was trying. You know, The Weeknd was awarded several awards. Rihanna performed. Everybody was happy that she got through the performance and hit all her notes. So it's like, all of these Black people are part of the program, yet you know, Questlove, who plays all instruments, introduces Madonna. Like, all of these choices were made, and still and yet, Madonna is the one that they chose to do the tribute to Prince.
Well, I just feel like Madonna doesn't have any cultural capital anymore. I mean, like, the thing is that now that when you're cute and young, you can move around, and you can do that Britney Spears things where you have, like, a whole crew of about, like, 40 people on stage, propping you up, that's still cute. You know, Britney lip syncing all day, she's still cute. People are like, oh, look at the outfit, right? Now, when old age distills you, I always tell people, that's an Annie DeFranco lyric, but she probably got offensive with herself. And now that she's distilled to whatever, you know, was in there, it's not, none of it has talent. She can't sing. She has zero stage presence, right? And she doesn't. She's not a very creative person. So the fact that you would have a Prince tribute with minimal dancing or none, like it just was sad. And I'm so glad that BET shaded the fuck out of them and was like, "We saw that. We got you."
I know, but they did. I feel like I believe the tweet has been deleted. Now, see, the thing with BET is, yes, all Black people are excited about the BET Awards coming up. BET is good for disappointment, though. But I feel like they're going to do a lot to try to get this Prince tribute right. But BET has some great interns running their social media right now.
Yes.
On Instagram, on Twitter. But they deleted tweet.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not really sure why they felt they needed to. They didn't delete any Stacey Dash memes and tweets.
Yeah.
But they did delete this tweet, unfortunately.
Well, you know, it's against another corporation. They probably own all this by the same people. Who knows?
Well, we are all looking forward to BET, Grammys, and all the many other award shows that are still to come. You know, even the Oscars could do a tribute because Prince was an actor. So we'll see.
He was an actor, but yes. He didn't get no Oscars. Oscar's so white.
And Prince is not white enough for them. So I know that many people.
Good afternoon, my octoroon.
So something that I know you've wanted to talk about for a while has really come through this week, where records from a deposition that Bill Cosby did several years ago have now come to light because a judge has decided that he can be charged for criminal accounts of sexual assault. So a deposition that was first confidential and sealed has now been supplied to the public for free access. Bill Cosby is an old man and has been sexually assaulting people since the 70s. Just according to this deposition, in 1976, he brought up somebody. Now, he can remember the year and the person's name, but played like he could not remember if that person gave consent or not. But then goes on to give accounts of people that he met in 2000, 2004, 2005. This is an old man. He is a dirty old man. Not only is he an old man, he breaks out lotion, like teenage masturbation level.
Why are you traumatizing me?
Lotion. And has young 18, 19-year-old models jack him off. What is happening?
But we already know. See, when the initial judge released the deposition because Bill Cosby was talking about his character and stuff, and the judge was just like, I'm going to release this.
Let's talk about
this. Listen, that judge had all the tea. He was like only going to release what he had power over. But trust me, when a judge is doing that, it's not because of a personal vendetta, usually. Usually it's because they got way more tea than what they could show you. But they sick, you know what I mean? And they really just trying to come, you know, just break down the door like, nah. It just got too egregious with Bill Cosby. Him suing women? You gonna sue women? I think that's what like really tipped off the judge was like, nah. You ain't gonna talk about nobody's character. You up in here admitting to giving people quaaludes.
Yes.
And then having sex with them.
Yes, and admitting to giving them drugs and then saying we were somewhere between consent and rejection.
Mm-hmm, but then you got to talk about your character.
How are you somewhere between? There's no gray area. There's a yes.
One thing I definitely have to say is that Bill Cosby is no OJ. Because his lawyers, like, how are they even, like, are they in the room? Were they consulted when he's saying the shit? Like,
this is exactly what I want to talk about. Two things. Bill Cosby has a black woman lawyer.
Uh-huh. Now.
Who is amazing. She's an amazing speaker, orator.
She's making her career off of this.
But why? Why is a black woman?
Uh-huh.
How much must she be paid? And you can't pay her enough.
A black woman's still married to him.
And that was the other woman I was about to bring up.
A black woman is still married to him. And she was his manager for much of the time that his activities are in question.
But it does come up in the deposition that he was keeping this from her. It does specifically come up that he was asked, and, you know, what is the reason that we were going through it the way we're going through it? Because you're trying to keep who out of the picture? And he said, my wife. Like, it's actually written in the deposition. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there's no way she knew. I believe you always know if something is like this systematic, as he describes it, that four or five models are being sent to him from the agency a week. There's no way that his manager slash wife couldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening? Why? Why are black women still by his side?
Why is Felicia Rashad standing for him?
Is she still? I don't think she's still standing for him.
She was. The last thing I heard from her was upstanding man. It's unfair that they taken off the Cosby Show off the air.
Well, maybe she was more worried about her legacy than his. I mean, it is sad. Like, can we show our kids the Cosby Show? Like, if I ever decide to make some babies, can I still show them the Cosby Show? I mean, right.
That's a big if.
Right, look, we don't have to get into my personal life. I'm just saying.
I would be all up in your uterus without notice.
Well,
just like a Republican
in
the Senate.
I'm about to be a great aunt again. When I'm babysitting, can I show my niece the Cosby Show? Can't I differentiate the joy that the Cosby Show brought us from the downfall of the individual? Is it not possible to do that?
That's a rough one. That's a rough one because, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. That's a rough one.
I feel like we are multidimensional people.
Mm-hmm.
And we try very hard to let actors be humans and separate what they do on the screen and what that the importance of that is from what they do behind closed doors. Now, I'm not saying they should get a pass for anything. Absolutely not. But, you know, he wasn't Bill Cosby on the show. His name was Heathcliff Huxtable.
Okay.
It was called The Cosby Show, but he was Heathcliff Huxtable. And The Cosby Show was really important in its day. I mean, that would be like saying, I can't show my kids The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air because
stuff comes out about Uncle Phil.
Right. Or because Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith live a non-monogamous life. And I think that's immoral.
But then you're just stupid. But I mean, let's be real. I mean, thinking something doesn't agree with your religious or whatever, it's very different than like this person actually is hurting other people and committing criminal acts. Right. That's I don't know. But from what I understand, many of our icons have hurt people, committed criminal acts, and just were really problematic. African Bambaataa, for example. James Brown, Miles Davis, you know, it seems like this is something that with a man of a certain generation, the exception is if they were a decent person in their personal life, unfortunately.
I don't think anyone accepted James Brown is like everybody knew he was beating his wife. Everybody knew he was on drugs. But honestly, I'm gonna say this. They show some very deep scenes and Get On Up. I'm from the South. I understand where he grew up.
Uh-huh.
He didn't have a whole lot of tools to process.
Right.
So for him to, on the one hand, have the business sense that he had is incredible. He had a seventh grade education, right? That's what he did. His mom rolled out. His dad sent him to live in the brothel. I mean, he was dealing with a lot of things. He saw his dad abuse his mom. I'm not making any excuses. I'm just saying, you know, there's a background to it. And I don't think anyone gave him a pass on the fact that he beat women. It was always talked about. Anytime I heard James Brown's name, the next thing I heard was, he beat women.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is, though, that hasn't kept anyone from playing his music. and appreciating his music for what it is. Is that a problem?
I think the problem then occurs when you compound that with the fact that these men were never held accountable. I feel like to the people that don't want to watch The Cosby Show right now want to do it as a form of accountability, because we know we're not going. He's too old now. He should have been in jail a long time ago. He should have been in jail a long time ago. He's too old.
That doesn't mean he won't get prosecuted and convicted.
Yeah. I mean, even if he does get prosecuted and convicted, he's so old that he'll probably have a lot of allowances made for that. Right? Because of his disability now and his health situation. So he didn't lose any real time.
Right.
He may lose legacy, but he's not losing any real time. He has never even come clean and been accountable. He has always been able to pay off whatever problems that rose from his horrible behavior, from his criminal activity. And he has demeaned and devalued this girl, at least one of that I know of, that has committed an attempted suicide, right? It's like, so that being the case, and many of them are dealing with longstanding psychological horrible issues as a result of his actions, okay? That being the case, I mean, you got Beverly Johnson, like, I made it out, bitches. I was drugged up and I threw myself in a limo and said, go. I mean, like, that shit is some action. This Beverly Johnson. Bill clearly had no chill. He had no chill when it came to the rape game.
No chill. How you been doing this for 30 odd years,
dude? When people say, I don't want to watch it, it's because, you know, like in my situation, I know one of his victims personally and have a little bit of a glimpse of what she has gone through. And to think about, I can't look at The Cosby Show and not think about what he's doing after the show is recorded. Not right now. He still has not been held accountable.
Okay.
It's like looking at old, like, let's say if Sandusky ever did an interview where he's just talking about the plays and stuff, and you're like, what a great mind for football. Like dozens of kids. I mean, like, at what point?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't I'm not interested. Okay. Leave it for somebody else. I don't know. Who doesn't have that fresh betrayal on their mind, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like if you're living in Charlie Chaplin's age and you know his 14-year-old bride.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know that shit, and you know ain't nobody stood for her, ain't nobody had her back, and her life was destroyed while he went on to do whatever the fuck he wanted to do, and then you gonna watch a Charlie Chaplin silent movie. It wouldn't have been silent with me up in there. I'd been like, fuck that. Nah. Fucking pedophile. Like, I mean, come on. I mean, at some point, we just gotta...
Okay, got it.
You got it?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Tell Bill.
In our second segment, I'd like to talk this week about some of the controversies that happened around colorism. So on the one hand, there's a blog called MuslimGirl.com. Mm. And they did a video, like 100 years of hijab fashion in 1 minute. Mm. And there was a lot of uproar on the internet about this video, because if you go and watch it, it's a light-skinned, presumably Arab woman, who knows? And all of the countries they mention are South Asian, North African, Middle Eastern. No mention of Sub-Saharan Africa.
Mm-hmm.
No mention of the fact that not all Muslims are Arab. Not all Arabs are Muslim. And, I mean, if you look at the numbers in the United States, Black Muslims outnumber Arab Muslims in the U.S. So, and then there was, what's her name? Pax? Was it Pax?
Yes, Pax Jones.
Pax Jones. So this wasn't a new comment, but somehow it's resurfaced that she said, why is the face of young Black feminism, why is that face light-skinned? Meaning Zendaya and Amanda Stenberg. Now, some people felt like she was attacking them, and I don't think she was attacking them. They're great people. I think Amanda Stenberg is amazing, and I'm very happy that she won her Black Girls Rock Award and all of these many things. But there is some truth that needs to be talked about with that. Why are they allowed to be the face?
Yo, they can come out talking about being genderqueer, talking about being this, that, and the other, and all this complexity is allowed to light-skinned girls. But we know this, man. I mean, I hit you up with how this was put forward by The Cosby Show also. And you weren't trying to hear me because, you know, we are rainbow of people and stuff. We are rainbow of people, but most
don't
of us
don't try to come for me.
I don't come for you every day.
Don't come for me on something that has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now. You're taking my words out of context. I will not have it.
What was the context of your words?
We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the face of young Black feminism. Sandra was not that. Denise was not that. So anyway, back to the topic at hand, the face of young Black feminism in 2016, Zendaya, who somebody came for her when she was on the red carpet, had some jokes, had some racist jokes. She called them out on it. That person had to apologize. That's how she came into the forefront. Now she has a Barbie. Amanda Stenberg, somebody came for her because she was tweeting only truths, and she handled it well. She responded well. Then she had her Teen Vogue where she was interviewed by Solange. She was very clear on her queer politics. She was very clear on her Black politics, even though she does identify as biracial.
These two women, as far as I know, are actors. And
yes,
they're in an industry that has A-list, B, you know, has that ranks actors according to their skin color. I have yet to see a young, dark-skinned lead, romantic lead in a mainstream movie. I've never seen that. I've seen tons of light-skinned ones.
I don't think Amanda has been a romantic lead.
Well, they're too
and she
young
wasn't a
at this
lead.
Point.
She was in Mockingjay. She wasn't a lead, though.
Right. She was a baby, right? Like, and so the thing is that still, even when they're looking for children, they look for light-skinned children. I don't feel like they're in an industry that accepts Black people, dark-skinned Black people.
Maybe not, but there is an actress who also the lead in the revamp of Black Annie. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? That's my point.
What it has to do with what we're talking about is that they're coming out of a field. I mean, it's almost like, you know, saying, well, why are most people in politics rich? You know, why are most people in politics white? Because you have to be rich to be in politics. And then you're more likely to be rich if you have generational wealth, right? Like, and you're more likely to have that if you come from a certain background. It's just the same as what's happening now with Black feminism. You know, you have people that feel free to speak out and they have a platform because they're in an industry, but they're in an industry that values them higher because of their lighter skin. That is my view on it. So, you know, there might be some amazing dark skin actresses that I don't know about that, you know, maybe they got to wait until they're 40, like Viola, to get some shine. But like coming out the gate, I don't normally see dark skin leads in major roles. I don't see that by and large. So yeah, I think that Pax Jones has a point. It's nothing personal against Amandla or Zendaya, who are just, you know, they're young, you know, seemingly vibrant, seemingly intelligent and complex people, but they're in a system that benefits them because of their color.
Well, I don't think that is, I think you have gone off on something that you continue to bring up, whereas I think Pax Jones was talking about the fact that it's not, she's not criticizing what they do. Their responses were great. They were attacked because of the industry that they're in, and they responded accordingly. But I believe that her point is there are other people doing great things, and they do have platforms, but the Black community is willfully making these two the face of young Black feminism. And I think that is an internal situation and not one of an industry. There are plenty of faces. Just if you look at the girls who won on Black Girls Rock this year, there were plenty of dark-skinned girls on there doing amazing things. The young lady who did the books drive, the little girl who does what is it called, Moxie Girl, the comic that won the awards, and she's a dark-skinned girl with her afro puffs. There are a lot of girls out there doing things, but some are being upheld more than others, and that is coming from an internal standpoint.
Yeah, colorism is an internal problem to a large extent, right? I mean, the people that make these, just like in acting, the people that are making a lot of those decisions about those movies are not always white people. They're also Black people. The people that put out the casting calls for NWA movie, right?
Like, yeah,
they specifically
right.
said, you know, they if you pretty, you know, for the pretty people, you gotta be light skinned.
Right.
So that being the case, of course, colorism is an internal problem, but there's also an issue of, you know, wanting to go towards people that have mainstream name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And while those people that got awards at Black Girls Rock and the girl with the book drive, doing amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt very seriously that their names are as widely known.
But they don't have to be, right? For new movements. Like the whole thing with the new movements, it's all about grassroots. It's not about legacy and name recognition. If you look at the Black Liberation Movement, and within that, there's 80 different organizations, including what people call Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
There are names that you know better than others,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of people behind that. And today, you know, in the way things are moving today, specifically in Black communities, people are trying to move away from having the name, right? People don't want there to be an MLK and a Malcolm X. People want there to be groups of people doing things. So my question is it really that they are being put in this position? Are they asking to be put in this position? Or are we saying that they've done that? I don't know that Amanda Stenberg is saying, I want to be the face of young Black feminism.
I don't think that's what's happening. But I think that when you're saying that you're the face of anything, you have to be a face that people recognize. I mean, like, I could put my own face someplace and it'd be like, okay, that's just a face, right? Mm-hmm. But I have to be known for something to be the face of anything. Right.
Yeah, but DeRay Meckeson is the face of Black Lives Matter, and he's not a member of Black Lives Matter.
Exactly. And that happens sometimes. I think that sometimes when you're in the public eye and you have that celebrity status, you have a situation where, because of your views or whatever, you're put in a position that you didn't consent to. You never said, hey, I need to be put in this position.
Mm-hmm.
But because there is a vacuum or people need you to be in that position or whatever, you're put in that position. I think that is the case with what has happened with these two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think.
Well, I was just going to say, what could Pax have done differently? Because now, in my opinion, I agree with what she wrote. But in my opinion, the way of writing it, even though I see where she's coming from, it feels like, or at least, you know, when her words were interpreted by others, it feels like she's bringing it to these two. Why talk about the people? What could we do instead? Who could be the face, or who should be the face? It's not one movement, as we have seen with the Lemonade conflict. There are a lot of different points of view, perspectives, opinions on Lemonade and its role in Black feminism.
Mm-hmm.
I am on one end of the spectrum with bell hooks. Everybody else seems to be on the other end of the spectrum. Just like even this past weekend, I met some really cool people. I hadn't even opened my mouth good, and I was getting yelled at on all sides.
At all occasions.
That I didn't understand Beyonce's feminism.
You don't.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. I mean, look, I actually have no problem with Pax's words. I think they were perfectly said.
Okay.
I think that anytime you bring up light skin privilege or colorism, whatever you want to call it, like, people get all up in their feelings, but are you calling me not really Black? Or are you saying that this is something personal against me? And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost as if, like, people were coming to me for guidance on a certain movement, and someone who's disabled was like, yo, Denise, you know, a lot of, you know, the stuff you're putting down is really ableist, and you need to check yourself on that. I'd be mm-hmm. like, okay, tell me more, right? Like, probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is, right? I don't understand the anxiety and the consternation mm-hmm. around people bringing up colorism when we all know it exists, and we
right.
all know it's all over our mass media, it's all over even Black media, that there is a tendency to prioritize light-skinned narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this new? She was just, she her tweets basically, if I'm reading them correctly, say water is wet and the sky is blue. That is what I mean.
Okay. Well, either way, I appreciate that the conversation was started not only by Pax months ago. I don't know why it's like, again, I don't know why it's getting traction now.
Mm-hmm.
I also appreciate that people came from MuslimGirl.com blog. They claim that it was part one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what it looks like part two.
I have never seen in any of these mainstream blogs a Black woman rocking hijab fashion. Never.
A Black.
Never. Like, maybe they go with a light-skinned Indian woman doing mm-hmm. a saris type situation, you know. Mm-hmm. But, like, a Black woman, a dark Black, never. Not unless you're on National Geographic.
Ooh.
Next to a giraffe.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of controversy with the last Hajj, because Saudi Arabia, due to capacity, has to allocate how many people were allowed to be sent from each country.
Oh, snap. You know Saudis.
And you can imagine those numbers were quite revealing of who wasn't really being allowed to be sent, to send a lot of people. They said that was for economic reasons.
Uh-huh.
And then when those hundreds of people died, guess where those hundreds of people were from?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, it's not new. Colorism exists in all communities.
Asian communities, Arab communities, Southeast Asian communities. I mean, it goes on, man. Like African communities, Caribbean.
Thank you, colonialism. Thank you, white supremacy. We appreciate that. And in our third segment, what's making us happy? What are we looking forward to? Go! Tell us all about it.
All about it? You put me on the spot. I'm going to AfroPunk.
On the spot. We going on like podcasts. City level.
Every time you put me on the spot. Every time I'm completely shocked and surprised. We're going to AfroPunk. That's happening. It's popping.
That's
going down.
Finally. Mm-hmm. Next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, guys, we're doing the podcast live on Periscope. And because it's, you know, connected to Twitter, you can just find us, The Queer Truth. We'll do it a little later so that some of you who aren't in our time zone can enjoy it as well. But don't worry, we will have the recording as normal for all of you who just enjoy the audio podcast. But yep, we're going to be Periscoping all weekend live from the spot.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to do that, boo-boo. You going to... Baby, can you put the Periscope on mommy's computer? So that's exciting.
Be good.
Mm-hmm. So what are you excited about? You excited about the same thing I'm excited about, AfroPunk Paris?
I'm super excited about AfroPunk Paris. I just don't know if I'm gonna be able to be there with y'all yet.
Stop playing.
Passport issues.
Oh, you ain't documented.
I am currently undocumented.
Yeah.
Because of this 3-month rule, I had to submit for a new passport because I recognized that my day of departure was one day after the 3 months. There is no expediting passports when you live in foreign countries. So the embassy has also not contacted me to tell me if they're going to get my passport done in time, even though I did provide them with all the details of my trip. So let's just pray to Black Baby Jesus that...
Oh my gosh. They ain't gonna let you go on that plane. See, you could come, you just won't be able to come back.
Right. I can get in, I ain't coming back. So.
You could come into Paris, but the UK be acting like they super special. They're like, oh, we're not in the Schengen zone now. We're going to need a blood sample and a stool sample, and we're going to need you to just back the fuck up off this line. Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. And there are people chartering buses from London.
Mm.
Black people are serious about AfroPunk. So let's keep those fingers crossed.
Ain't there like a body of water between? I don't know. I don't know geography. I've been here too long, but I still don't know geography. I was like,
there is a body of water. It's called the English Channel, but there's also something called the tunnel.
That's where the refugees was trying to go in the tunnel. Right.
Some of the refugees, unfortunately, do try to use the tunnel, which is very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have been on a car that got on a train and it carried me over the tunnel. So
Okay. That's modern technology. That's exciting. It's really great. So we may or may not meet up in Paris, is what you're saying.
We may or may not. I'm going to be watching on the Periscope like, hey, guys.
Oh, no. Baby, you really going to have to put that on my computer. You ain't going to be there. Wow. But, you know, the Airbnb in Paris is so dope. It's really great. I'm so excited about that.
Yes. We're all up in the red light district, so it's going to be dope.
And so, I even took that Friday off work. You know, I'll never take off.
Oh, it's going to be live.
So that whole Friday, I could have me a croissant.
I have already been on Instagram following some great foodies. So I know where we're going to be eating the entire time.
Oh, my God.
Not at all.
Sometimes I swear to God you're a Virgo because you be playing an air thing. You got the plan for the plan and the plan. The plan of the plan.
Look, I don't like to be hungry now. And I don't like making the last minute decisions about where we're going to eat when I'm already hungry. So, got the addresses. No, they in the 18.
Oh, you probably made a Google map, didn't you?
I haven't done that yet, but I'm going to get to it. Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Chris Goof. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we discussed today, so feel free to get at us. Until next time.